You're listening to the Penrith Perception Podcast, where we drive discussions about the cogs and gears that run a selective high school in New South Wales. We're your hosts, Shamila
and Reed. And in today's episode, we will talk to Amritha, who will share their insights on a recent seminar at the University of Technology Sydney on women in sport, along with Freya, who was involved with a school-wide celebration of International Women's Day, and Giselle about her experiences at the International Women's Day morning tea, which focused on how each and every one of us can work to create a more inclusive environment for women.
They listened to anecdotes from renowned women, including the Matildas' very own goalkeeper, Lydia Williams. Together, we can build a community based on trust, equality, and community. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Do you guys want to introduce yourself and tell us what International Women's Day means to you?
Okay. I'm Giselle, and I'm in year 12, and I'm an academic prefect. And for me, I think International Women's Day is not just about celebrating really successful women who have achieved a lot in terms of their careers, for example, the corporate industry, but also it's about recognizing the struggles that women still need to work towards in terms of achieving gender equality, and also especially for marginalized women who are underprivileged, for example, low socioeconomic, because for the majority of the world who are not in developing countries, women's rights are still being, they're still not prioritized. So yeah.
Hey, so I'm Amritha, I'm in year 10, and International Women's Day to me is like a day of recognition over how throughout time in history, women have faced a lot of barriers, whether it's culturally or just based on like genderism and that sort of, or sexism actually. But I think it's a recognition of how despite this, women like have been able to persevere through those challenges, and I think it's a celebration of how amazing it is to be a woman.
Hi, my name is Freya. I'm in year 12 and I'm a social justice and equality prefect. And to me, International Women's Day is an opportunity to recognise the progress that has been made by people and generations that have come before us, but also to bring to light what progress there is still to be made, kind of like what the other two said.
So maybe just to start off, we could talk about what does womanhood and sisterhood really look like to you? Give us like even a visual picture or something that we can think of and think, yeah, I think that is true solidarity amongst women.
Okay, great. For me, when I think of womanhood or sisterhood, I think about just like the little actions that girls or women will do for each other. For example, like, you know, if like you need like a hair tie or something like that, just like letting people borrow your things when you really need them.
Oh my gosh. No, do you know what? Sorry to interrupt, but I do resonate with that because I think this is thing that this is rule like amongst women that like if you give someone your hair tie, you just don't really ask for it back. I mean, I've obviously done this before, but every time I think maybe I shouldn't, you know, because like, you know that movie, like the one with Blake Lively, it's like the traveling pants or like the sisterhood of the traveling pants, where it's like they can all fit into these pair of pants and it kind of just travels like around with them because they live apart. And I just really like that idea that like, oh yeah, like you have a part of you in every other girl, you know what I mean, like your hair tie on their wrist and things like that. It's kind of poetic. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, keep going.
No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, I just feel like it's very symbolic as well in terms of just like how close our relationships are compared to like boys, for example. I just feel like because of like the prejudice that we also face, that makes us stronger as like a group. So yeah.
To me, when I think of womanhood or sisterhood, I just have this mental image of, you know, how before a big game or before a big challenge, like everyone in it, like for a team, everyone puts their hands in together and they say something like, go team. That's the mental image that I get from womanhood or sisterhood, because to me it means like collectively supporting each other and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like there's just this whole solidarity that comes with recognizing this day and recognizing everything that women have done for us in our lives. So, Freya?
Yeah, I think to me womanhood and sisterhood is like not meant to be said as sort of an opposition to men's relationships or anything like that, but I think it's more a celebration of what women have managed to create, you know, in spite of our history and in spite of the history that we recognize through celebrating International Women's Day. I think womanhood and sisterhood is really a term that means women support and lift each other up. You know, we might know each other deeply, or it might just be a random woman you don't know on the street, but like, it's just a solidarity that we have with each other to support each other.
Yeah, like girls support
girls.
Support. Yeah.
Okay, so Amritha, it's to our understanding that you went to this International Women's Day seminar at UTS. What was your biggest takeaway from this?
So I guess the biggest message that I sort of took away from that experience was that although we can identify many barriers and many challenges to gender equality, nothing will happen unless we take an active interest into solving them. Because we've heard from a panelist who was studying women's surfing and how there are equality issues in that. And she was discussing how unless we take interest into funding women's surfing and giving it more recognition, like the recognition that it deserves compared to men's surfing, that's the way that we can start to create a sort of equal position for like women and men.
Okay, so on that note, how did hearing from figures like Lydia Williams inspire or change your perspective on women in sport?
So I wouldn't say it changed my perspective, but it sort of inspired me because like hearing from Lydia Williams' story, she grew up in the country, like she lost her dad due to cancer at like not a completely young age, but as she was growing up. And it was very inspiring to hear how throughout all of these challenges and throughout how the Matildas were getting paid an extremely low salary, lower than the average Australian, I think this story has really highlighted the importance of recognizing women's sports. Because although we have a lot of like women's sports in our school, such as grade sports and stuff like that, the thing is I feel like this really highlighted that there are many improvements that we can make to our programs to inspire more participation in these sports.
Just to clarify, by average Australian, you obviously mean like the average, I guess, male football player in the field that she works in, right? Talking about like things like the salary gap, obviously issues that are very much prevalent to today. And also why we have these days to gain recognition to these obviously issues that are affecting so much of this population. I think what you said is really important and I agree. So Giselle, I understand you attended the International Women's Day Morning Tea. So what were the main points of the International Women's Day Morning Tea and what was discussed?
Okay, great. So International Women's Day Morning Tea, we had a lot of speakers from very diverse areas. So I think some of the ones from the top of my head were women from construction, corporate industry, so law, entrepreneurship, accountancy. And the main points were really focusing on overcoming self-doubt. So for example, one of the speakers, she was Lara Wentworth, and she worked as a solicitor in the law industry for quite a long time, but now she's, I believe she does leadership coaching. And a lot of like her advice was really about overcoming like insecurity and really imposter syndrome, which is a really big issue that a lot of women face in a competitive industry like the corporate world, where often, for example, even in like meetings and stuff, like, you know, they're kind of like starting side conversations when you're talking, so they're not really showing you like that mutual respect, right? And other points included, for example, like domestic and family violence, because that's obviously like a really big issue, right? Like one woman a week dies from domestic and family violence. Yeah. And they even had groups like The Haven, which is a local NGO in the Penrith and Nepean area, come to kind of like promote support in terms of donations and really helping out with that. So yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, what would you say was like the piece of advice that like stuck out most to you?
I would say the piece of advice that stuck out like the most significant for me was about kind of giving everything a go and not giving up, even when people have like, oh no, let's say there's something that they said to you, right? Like especially if they treated you in a way that made you feel inferior or insignificant to them, right? For example, Lara Wentworth, she gave a personal story about how when she was a little girl, she was like a very like confident person, and then she used to perform a lot, right? So she would do a lot of like singing and dancing, and then one time performance she saw like kind of people laughing and making fun of her, and then she said that was the first time she ever felt like a seed of insecurity or self-doubt. And she felt like, I'd say like that advice really stuck out to me about kind of ignoring that and just like, you know, like you keep on going, right? Yeah.
I feel like there is this like big thing that like, I don't know how the saying goes, but it's something like insecurity. It's like shame isn't like inbuilt
in women, it's like taught by society, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, Freya. So you were the prefect that advocated for handing out the purple ribbons at our school for International Women's Day. We know historically that purple was a color that denoted justice and dignity. And why did the prefects want to have this initiative this year?
Yeah, so I think that showing your support through symbolism is really a great way to display your solidarity, because there is a lot of solidarity that can be found in symbolism. And it's really an easy way for everyone to get involved, just handing out ribbons at the school gates, but also an easy way for people to show their support. Like looking down and seeing a ribbon on maybe someone you wouldn't expect to have picked up one can be really comforting just as you're walking around the school. And I know I was overwhelmed, like really positively, with the amount of support that was shown. Like we made around, I think, 400 ribbons. But then I was standing at the bus bay gates, but I ran out of ribbons like at 8:45. And so I was running around to the other gates trying to find more ribbons to hand out, because I had people coming up to me and asking me, hey, can I get more ribbons? Do you have any more? And it was so lovely to have people like bringing their friends back to come and get a ribbon and all this sort of stuff. Like it was just, it really built the community nicely.
Yeah, I remember that when I got to school, or like half of my friends, like they came in from like the back gate, like before people like actually started handing out the ribbons yet. And they were all asking me like, oh, where'd you get the ribbon from? Where'd you get the ribbon from? And then like cue a stampede of like 20 people just making their way back to the gates to get ribbons.
I was like rushing around trying to find more. And some people, you know, are still wearing those ribbons over like a week and a half after we handed them out. And it's just so lovely to see around the school.
Like it shows you that it's like International Women's Day. Like, yeah, it's a day of celebration, but the like the recognition and stuff, like it goes beyond that.
100%.
I think that what you mentioned with, you know, wearing the purple ribbons is like a show of also solidarity. I think that's cool because in a way that's also, it's a small detail, but it means so much in the long part, don't you think? And then also I think that's a nice segue to talk about what are some, I think, micro actions that you guys might do to show your support for equality?
Well, in terms of micro actions, well, I always try to let like another girl go before me if I'm getting off the bus or the train or anything, or I'll make sure to give up my seat in public transport if I see a woman in need or a woman older than me, because I know that they deserve that seat.
I feel like for me, some of the micro actions I do, for example, I've had conversations with students, like some of my friends or even teachers, for example, where they've kind of like assumed stuff to be like, oh, like when you have kids, right? So I will always correct them. I'll be like, oh, if I have kids, right? Because I feel like that's also like a really entrenched gender stereotype.
That's so true. I never thought about it that way. You're so right.
Yeah. Like women will automatically just like, you know, like become mothers, but that's not a decision that everyone will want to make. So I feel like emphasizing the idea that it's still a choice that, you know, like not everyone wants to conform to the stereotype. So yeah,
like it shouldn't be like it's expected of all like women to be like, you know, be mothers. And especially I feel like it's, again, like we're all in high school. Like I feel like there is also that thing of like, don't, I feel like people should stop expecting girls, especially young girls, to already have made choices and like to have their like, you know, like their whole path, especially with like motherhood and stuff, all sorted out by the time they're like 16, which is crazy.
Like hell, I don't even know what I'm gonna have for lunch. Like what do you mean? Freya?
Yeah, I think micro actions I do just involve a lot of stereotypes that we assume around gender roles in society, like things like holding the door, like I'll hold the door for men. Like
that's a good one,
like that sort of thing. That's, and also like you hear jobs such as nurses, firefighters, doctors are often very gendered jobs. Like you talk about a nurse, people assume it's a female. You talk about a doctor, people assume it's a male. So just not automatically assuming those things. And even like if someone tells me I went to the doctor, I'll be like either, oh, what did they say? Or what did she say?
Yeah, and no, that's what I was going to mention as well. Yeah. I think that's such an important one. Like if someone's like, oh no, I, you know, that microbiologist, I'm like, oh, what's her name? Or like, oh, is she here? Or something like
just
that.
Like tiny little things, because you don't, when you say the gendered, you know, pronouns that are normally assumed for a person in that position, you don't, it just kind of flies by. You don't really notice it. Yeah. But suddenly you reverse that and people are like, oh, just little random efforts, making people think about it more on days, not only International Women's Day, but all throughout the year, is really important in the steps to achieve equity and equality.
And do you know another thing? I feel like, I think all, I don't generalize again, but I think a lot of girls, especially after after school, we go on the trains and we kind of talk a lot. We laugh a lot, you know? And I think there's this whole thing about that being so annoying. And like, people always have something to complain about, all these teenage girls. You see them in groups, they're always giggling and like, they're always so loud and need to be heard. And yeah, I mean, sure, for like a regular commuter who's like, I don't know, just came back from like a job, it's annoying. But I think that, you know, if they're not doing anything wrong and they're just laughing around with their friends, let it, like, you know, let them have fun.
Yeah, these like double standards between, all the girls are so annoying, they're so whiny, and then, but boys will always be boys, you know, when they're on the train and stuff. Is that what you were going to say?
Let's talk about like the significance of that saying.
Yeah, I was going to talk about how like that whole boys will be boys thing. I feel like even with teachers, they expect like, oh, the girls are always so well behaved, but the boys are always like this. Girls, you're so much better than the boys and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Or like in primary school, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but if you were like the quiet kid in class who would, you know, get your head down, get your work done, you'd be sat next to the troublesome kids to try.
Why was that a universal thing?
Oh my God. Yeah, like to try and make them behave. And I kind of, it's weird because I understand both sides of it, because also managing a class and having so many kids in a class and adhering to their needs, like that is so hard for the teachers. But also it shouldn't be the expectation of students to keep those kids in line, and then a detriment to their academics and their learning because there's someone distracting constantly beside them.
I feel like it's like really important that it shouldn't be the role little girls are forced into just to be that carer for like everybody.
Gendered undertones, 100%.
Yeah. I remember in like school, like half the time it's always like, oh my God, like the girl side is so well behaved. Mm-hmm. And then you like look over and like you'll just see like three or four boys just raise their hands in like just complete disbelief.
Like boys at the back.
Yeah. And it's like they're not even doing anything.
I think there's also that situation, because while we're on the topic of talking about schools, I think it goes by grade, but a lot of the time you'll see a pattern of boys kind of sticking to one side and girls kind of sticking to another. And obviously I think that's sort of separate to this situation, but like it happens a lot in our grade, especially I've seen it in other grades. And it's sort of like, I think one side's putting a lot more effort than the other side is. And I think it's something we kind of have to bridge together. I know teachers are definitely working very hard through like programs and like workshops to get the community kind of more included.
Yeah, it's like random example. But our business class is always like segregated with like all the girls are on one side and all the guys are on the other side. And it's so funny to like see like Mr. Hussain like point it out. Also shout out Mr. Hussain. You're amazing.
Shout out to Mr. Lidster actually, because you know, look, this happens so much in my English advanced class. He always points it out. He's like, what is this divide? And he'll go on singing into like song or something about the divide. I don't know if you guys have had Mr. Lidster, but you know, that's so real.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's also just important to recognize like the impact that, you know, like, yeah, like it's important to recognize the impact women have on maintaining this like equality and fighting for women's justice. But men also have to play this role in helping us get there as well. Like they're,
Amrita? I guess adding back to that thing about how in the classroom is always so separated, there's also this sort of like this thing where if a girl talks to a guy or is helping them out, everyone sort of goes like, oh, and starts shipping them together. It's so annoying.
God. Oh no, this literally happened to me the other day. And you know what? It's so funny. So I was sitting down next to one of my friends, whatever, just talking about their English assignment. I feel like a guy's come in and they're just like giggling. So I'm like, why are they giggling like that? Also, they were giggling like girls, if that's like, that's the kind of stuff they say. So I'm allowed to say that. But anyway, they were giggling. And then I was like, why are they giggling? And then he goes, they probably think you're tutoring me.
Yeah, I have come across this a lot as someone who in high school, I've had a lot of male friends throughout high school. Like my friend group has kind of been consistently, you know, a lot more males than females. And I think it kind of, I've noticed it a lot in lots of little microaggressions. Like whenever I tell anyone about my friends, it's always also, which one are you dating? Which one are you into?
Oh my God.
You know, like every time, like this has been sort of a theme throughout the whole of high school. And I think it speaks to a deeper societal change that's needed.
Yeah.
Like a distinct memory I kind of slip back into PDHP classes is we would always be separated into boys versus girls and all this sort of stuff. And all of my friends and that's always were on the boys' side.
It's a really uncomfortable like, kind of feeling. Because I think especially in something like PE, it's kind of, well, what do
and
I do?
Like I still loved being surrounded by the women in my class, but I also just wanted to do sport with my friends.
Yeah, I think I also...
And that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I get what you mean. It's like, again, that divide, you know, you can't really control it.
It's just something that's more deeply ingrained into society.
Yeah, and it's that judgment, you know, it's not anyone's fault necessarily, of course not. It's just like that, yeah, like that expectation. It's just the judgment that,
yeah,
100%.
So real quick, what pieces of advice do you guys have for women and allies just in general?
I would say the biggest piece of advice I would give for women and allies is to be supportive and to never give up. And even though that is cliche, like this idea of, you know, like, oh, never give up, right? But I think that's honestly such a powerful statement, because there's a saying, I think, like a Japanese saying, where it's about like falling down 7 times and getting up 8 times. So it doesn't really matter how many times you're kind of challenged by other people. And it's more about how you overcome that and kind of bounce back from those challenges. Yeah.
My piece of advice to women is to stand up for yourself, because I know that there are many situations where women can feel sort of overpowered or feel like that they don't have a lot of power. But I encourage people to sort of, even if they don't have power, like build that within yourself. Like, just because, like, if, for an example, if you're in a situation where someone else is taking control of you, build power within yourself to stand up for yourself, and don't let anyone, regardless of their gender, try to push you down, because everyone, every gender has so much potential, and we shouldn't let anyone try to damage that, you know.
I think it's really important throughout this whole discussion to recognize that this isn't a thing about men versus women, but men and women working together to find equality. And I think speaking up about that really loudly is important. And it's important we have people who speak up, both men and women, speak up to make everybody part of a positive narrative instead of pushing lots of people down. I just think it's really important that this is about lifting people up and making sure everyone can have equity and equal opportunity.
So just to end off, do you guys want to just give a shout out to a woman that's inspired you or means a lot in your life? Just one quick, just one name. That's all it takes.
Shout out to my mom and my sister.
I'm going to say the same thing, Freya. So I would shout out to my mom as well. I feel like she's just such an inspiring person, and she's always been there for me.
I love that.
I'm just going to shout out one of my teachers, Miss Eith.
I think
she's super inspiring,
yes.
And I love
totally agree with that.
Class, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Shout out Miss Ball. You're amazing. Yes. Shout out to my sister as well. And shout out Miss Gardanis. Without you, this episode could not exist.
Right, yeah. Shout out to Miss Jones. Shout out to the whole English faculty, actually. And yeah, shout out to my mum, my little sister, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to all of you.
Shout out to you guys. Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that's it for today's episode of the Penrith Perception. We hope you guys enjoyed the inspiring words of your community and culture. Thank you so much to everyone who shared their experiences and words.
Thank you for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Penrith Perception, a podcast made by the multimedia team. To support us, feel free to follow us on Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram at The Penrith Perception for more news, behind-the-scenes material, and upcoming episodes. This podcast was recorded on Darug land, always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
The Penrith Perception is executive produced by Shamila Faisal, Reet Kanda, and Dimitis Gardanis. Mixed and edited by Snigdha Nishani, Sachika Chakraborty, and Jasmine Sohi. Scripted by Marlena Hanna and Studi Biswas. Graphic design by Abhi Chi and Mariam Ahmed. Music composed by Preetam Telugu.